when I think about what it means to be a long-term thinker or what it means to be strategic, at a super fundamental level, it is asking ourselves the question, what is it that I can do today that will make tomorrow better or easier? If we just keep asking ourselves that question, how do you do a favor for your future self so that your future self looks back and is like, wow, Joe of 2016, I'm really glad I did that. Like, that's the win.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
Are you doing future you any favors? Dori Clark, author of The Long Game, talks with Joe about the value of thinking long term and taking the time to think strategically.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Climber and FitAid. Climber, the most effective cardio and strength machine. Climber provides a full body strength and cardio workout with zero impact in only 30 minutes. Go to climber.com, that's CLMBR.com, and use the code Spartan to save $250. FitAid, race dirty, recover clean with FitAid Sports Recovery Drink. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and enter the code Spartan30 at checkout to get exclusive early access to FitAid's Black Friday 30% off sale.
Joe DeSena here, CEO and founder of Spartan and the Spartan Up podcast, where we rip you off the couch and get you under the barbed wire. I'm here with Dori Clark. She's like superstar. Just to give you an idea what Dori is, Marion, who's behind the scenes for the podcast, said, you know, Joe, she's like a real bestseller. I think that was implying that, like, I'm not a real bestseller like Dori Clark is. What's the name of the latest book, Dori?
The latest book, Joe, is called The Long Game, How to Be a Long-Term Thinker in a Short-Term World.
So, and you like speak at Harvard, you're a professor at Columbia, a couple of these fancy colleges.
I do have a few fancy colleges under the belt. It's true.
I barely got into a college. Most people don't think long game. Everybody thinks short term, short game. How'd this happen?
Well, you're exactly right, Joe. And I got interested in this question because I was asked to give a talk a while back on strategy. And so I started digging into it and I found this pair of statistics that blew my mind. There was a study a few years ago of 10,000 executives and they said 97% said that strategic thinking was the most important thing they could do for their business. And then there was a separate study and in it, 96% of people said they didn't have time for strategic thinking. And I thought, how is this possible? And yet it's so true. And we recognize it in our own lives. And I really wanted to understand what it was that was causing this disconnect. Because if we can solve this, if we can actually be the people, unlike everybody else, that really does make time for strategic thinking and long-term thinking in our lives, it is incredibly transformative. And you can really be able to accomplish a lot more than the people around you as a result.
It is true, though, as an executive myself, I got a knife fight every day to make sure we sell tickets to races so that we could feed the machine. But at the same, right? And on the other side, I know that if I'm not focused on that and I could fly at 50,000 feet, it would be better for the business. So I see the push-pull that those 97 or 96% were talking about. I guess the trick is to become chairman and make somebody else CEO so that you don't have to deal with the knife fight every day.
Yeah. It's true. That's one solution. But it's also true that it's a battle that we all have to fight because it's not just, of course, in the business world that we're thinking about strategy. It's in our own lives. And so I became really interested in this question. How do we apply long-term thinking to our careers, to our personal lives, so that we can actually be hopefully a lot more likely to end up with the results that we actually want rather than just stumbling into whatever comes our way.
Do you mind if I reference you and your book in my house? When my wife says, let's say, Joe, can you take out the garbage? I'll say, honey, I would love to, but I'm doing some strategic thinking right now. I'm flying a little above. Like when my kids say, hey, Dad, can you take me to soccer practice? I would love to, dear, but I'm doing some strategic work right now for the family.
You go for it, Joe, and I will field the hate mail. I got you covered.
I have a saying, which I think you'll appreciate. A lot of people ask me what my exit strategy is with Spartan, and I tell people death. Is that a good am I a long-term thinker?
I think you totally have crushed that. That's super long-term. I love it.
Right. And, you know, one of our investors is Hearst. And I think about companies all the time and how very few of them make it past the 15-year mark. And so when I look at Hearst, who invested in us, and I think about my exit strategy being death, I'm like, we're thinking similarly. Like, they don't pressure me for like, oh, we had a bad quarter or a bad year. Like, they're just such long-term thinkers because they've been around for 100-plus years. And those are fun people to be around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ultimately, if you're a long-term thinker, you do have to have backbone because there's a lot of pressure around you, typically from the outside, from the general world for short-term considerations. But it also gives you a kind of existential comfort to know, to use a relevant metaphor, that you're running your own race. And that if something doesn't work out, if something takes longer than you thought it should or than you might wish, it's okay because you're going to have another at bat. You're going to have a chance to do it. It's not like now or never. It's that you are going to take however long it takes to actually get it done.
You know, it's patience, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. There's a concept that I talk about in the long game called strategic patience, because regular patience is something that I kind of hate. Just ever since I was a little kid, it's been so incredibly frustrating. I feel like oftentimes when people tell you, oh, just be patient, it's actually a form of people telling you, just sit back, just shut up, just please stop, you know, complaining. And I think for ambitious people or people who want to accomplish something, that is not what you want to hear. But it's also simultaneously true that, you know, some things do take a while, and we have to make peace with that. So when I think about how to do that, for me, the answer is strategic patience, which is basically, yes, being patient in the sense of recognizing, all right, things might take longer than we want, but it doesn't mean that we're just sitting back and waiting passively. We can do things, we can try things, we can test things to be as smart as we can about navigating that distance.
I was interviewing somebody yesterday, and they said in the German company they currently work for, they have a saying called the test tornado. And I said, what's that? And they said, well, we just want to have a mindset that when we test things, they don't always go well. Sometimes it creates a complete tornado and everybody's frustrated because it's a little chaotic. But if it works, then it goes into process, and if it doesn't, we kill it. And so I like that. And the other one I like around patience is it's also important how you act while being patient, right? Because you could be like pissed off, right? You could like, I had a friend who lost a big wrestling match this last weekend. And it's so easy for me once I'm in my 50s, right? It's different when you're 30 years old or 20 years old. But I was like, hey, it's okay if you lose four more because it's a long game, right?
That's absolutely right. I mean, we do have to have the right attitude about it, because part of what enables us to get to the destination, frankly, is help and support from people around us. And if you were a complete pain in the ass to be around, no one's going to want to help you get there. So I think a big part of it is making sure that, yes, we keep moving forward, but also that we do it in a way so that we can actually build allies in the process rather than alienating people.
Are you a student of Shackleton's adventure at all? You track that story?
I'm certainly familiar with it, although I wouldn't say I'm an expert. Fill me in. What do we need to know about Shackleton?
Well, I'm just thinking, I mean, if I could have dinner with anybody outside of my wife, it would be, and my kids, it would be Shackleton. But he's dead. But he was an explorer, and he got stuck in the ice, right, for 2 years, and they didn't lose a man. And talk about patience. right? So, and what he figured out was like keeping people busy and focused on tasks and teaming folks up with each other depending on how they were acting that day. And when I'm just listening to it, I'm just thinking like the ultimate test of patience. We're stuck in the ice. It's extremely cold, right? Like they didn't lose anybody. So I is it ever that bad? Like whatever you're going through anywhere in the world, you're not stuck in the ice for 2 years.
I think that's a great frame. That's exactly right. We're not stuck in the ice, and most of the challenges that we're facing these days are not going to kill us. It might feel like it's going to kill us, you know, if we're talking about a professional challenge, but mostly it's not, and we can keep pushing forward. I think that's a great reminder.
And so he was in the ocean, and it makes me think of jellyfish. And you have a saying, don't be a jellyfish. So explain that.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, sometimes people ask like, what's so good about long-term thinking? Like, why does it matter? Why should I care? And, you know, my answer is if your outcome, if the place that you are going to end up actually doesn't matter to you, then you don't have to care. It's fine. You know, a jellyfish, it doesn't sort of matter. It just floats on the water and it ends up where it ends up. It's not a big deal. But for most of us, we actually do have a preference. We actually do have things we want to accomplish, places that we want to get to. And if all we're doing is reacting to stimuli and responding to what is happening in the moment, which is kind of the definition of short-term thinking, it is really unlikely that we're going to actually get to the place that we want to go. We'll get somewhere, but it might not be where we want to go. It's long-term thinking and being proactive that enables us to actually just set the direction a little bit more. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to get exactly where we want to go, but it dramatically increases the chances because we're putting some volition into it rather than just floating on some waves.
I have a friend who I had a trading desk years ago in New York. And I had a friend who did very well in like early 20s, retired, drove his mother crazy at home. And his brother, who's also my friend, said, you have to get my brother out of the house. So I got him to come to my office. And within a year, he said to me, I'm going to make $250 million. And I said, how are you going to do that? And this is a very long-term thinker. This, if you could envision what a chess champion would look like, a mathematician, like, you know, because you're in that academic world every day. And he said, here's the deal. And he laid it out on a whiteboard in front of me. He said, this is where I want to go. I'm going to make $250 million. That's my goal. And he worked backwards. And there were like six bullet points on, you know, working backwards from right to left. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. And he did it. He did it. And he just did it.
That is super impressive. That's great.
And it was like, it was very like, no nonsense. Like, of course this is going to happen. I think the problem is a lot of people don't work backwards from the goal. Instead, they just kind of just jellyfish through life and then wonder how the hell they ended up in the South Pacific.
I think it's really true, Joe. Absolutely. I mean, ultimately, a question that is useful for all of us to be asking ourselves is, you know, it's a simple one, but it's powerful. And that is, are the actions that I'm taking today likely to lead me to the place that I want to be in 5 or 10 years? And sometimes just by asking that question, we realize, wait, actually, it doesn't really match up. And hopefully we can begin to see that and correct it. Because it's not about taking, you know, huge, dramatic action. It's about the small things that compound over time that we're doing every day.
Let's talk about the small things. I like that because I drive my family crazy. I drive everybody I know crazy because I'm just a big believer in every single day, 7 days. So I work out every day.
We'll be back to the interview in just a minute, but first a little bit about our sponsor today, Climber. Climber is a vertical climbing, full body workout that combines high intensity cardio with resistance training. It's one of the most efficient workouts on the market. With zero impact, the machine is safe for almost any age or level of ability. It's the first vertical climber to feature a large format touch display with on-demand instructor-led classes. Climber's patent-pending design has a high-quality build and a low level of required maintenance. It's easy to move, making it perfect for commercial or at-home use. The open design allows the user, you, to maintain correct body position without having to be inches away from the monitor. Climber just might be the better home workout you're looking for. Climber provides a full body strength and cardio workout with zero impact in only 30 minutes. Go to climber.com, that's C-L-M-B-R.com, and use the code Spartan to save $250. FitAid. FitAid is a clean sports recovery drink. You heard that right. Clean sports recovery drink. It's 45 calories, certified non-GMO tested, vegan, paleo-friendly, certified gluten-free, kosher, and never contains artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, or sodium. Even the zero sugar option that's keto friendly and 5 calories is naturally sweetened with monk fruit and stevia. The FitAid Recovery Blend has glutamine, glucosamine, turmeric, BCAAs, omega-3s, CoQ10, the full B complex, and electrolytes. It's what you need after the gym, hiking, biking, or your race. They are an official partner of the Spartan Race Series. You know that because you've gotten the drink at the finish line. Now you can get it at home. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and enter the code SPARTAN30 at checkout to get exclusive early access to FitAid's Black Friday 30% off sale. That's lifeaidbevco.com and the code SPARTAN30.
Let's talk about the small things. I like that because I drive my family crazy. I drive everybody I know crazy. Because I'm just a big believer in every single day, 7 days. So I work out every day. Two days ago, great example. I want to talk to you about that. I'm filming a show for CNBC that I'd like to get you on. But we got done at 10 o'clock at night. We raced to Boston, so it's like 1 in the morning. I got a meeting at 5 a.m. I'm in a hotel, and I'm like, I guess I got to get up at 3:55 or whatever to get my workout in. And I did my workout and I hit up my friend who's on the show and they were like, nah, it's too early. And I thought, well, it's gotta be every day. It doesn't matter what gets in the way. It's gotta be every day. I make my kids study Mandarin for 30 minutes every single day, 7 days a week. And my wife will say, well, they had a birthday party last night. Yeah, well, there's gonna be a lot of birthday parties, but they gotta do their Mandarin. They gotta get their workout in. But the compounding effect, that word you just used, like before you know it, 3 years goes by and you speak Mandarin and you have a six pack, right? And you're able to do mathematical equations.
I think that's so powerful. I love it, Joe. That's great. I want to applaud that. And my addition to it is that research has shown that a lot of times what trips people up, and I'm sure you're very aware of this with all of the work you've done around Spartan Race and your books, is that sometimes if for whatever reason people do get derailed, we have a human tendency to make the perfect the enemy of the good. And so, I normally work out at 6 or 7 in the morning. I can't do it today. Oh, all is lost. And I think if we also recognize consistency is great when it is not possible, sometimes there really are exigent circumstances, it doesn't mean that it's blown. It means that we can ask ourselves a question, well, could I fit it in at lunchtime? Could I fit it in at dinner time? Okay, if I don't have an hour today because of something I really can't control, could I lift weights for 20 minutes? And understanding that getting back on the horse when we are derailed in some way is so essential to part of it. And if we can't be quote unquote perfect in our adherence, let's try to do it. But it also doesn't mean fall off the wagon because we couldn't do it. It means be flexible in pushing forward and looking for creative solutions.
I'm so glad you said that because I was questioning my own ability in life, but now that I listen to you, and you're smart, and you teach at schools, I literally called my friend that morning, like let's say 5:15 and from the hotel gym 2 days ago. And I said, I understand why you didn't come down. I said, because you go do CrossFit every day and there's no CrossFit gym. And so you just waved your arm and said, on days like that, just get on the elliptical machine for 30 minutes. And so I love that you just said that. All right, so look, there's a lot of people out there that I talk to across 45 countries that are just stuck. They say, Joe, how do I get motivated? I don't seem to be progressing in my career, whatever it may be. You talk about this stuff every day. Give us three simple things. I love perfect is the enemy of good. I also use the term perfect is the enemy of done.
Amen to that. So one strategy for people that are feeling stuck or it's hard to be motivated is absolutely to find pre-commitment devices that essentially serve as a forcing function to help you do something. In the long game, I profile a woman named Kim Cantor-Gianni who really wanted to lose weight but just had a lot of trouble doing it. And she decided that she was going to essentially bring in the power of something stronger than just her willpower, which was her community and a good cause. And so she created what she called a pound-a-thon campaign. And she went to all her friends and she had them pledge money that for every pound she lost, they would donate money to the local battered women's shelter. So all of a sudden, it became about a lot more than just her trying to lose weight. It was her not letting down her community in a cause that she cared about. And that actually enabled her to be so successful in it that she was featured in People magazine as a result of her campaign. So pre-commitment and bringing in community members can be quite powerful as the first strategy.
Matter of fact, no surprise, 5 o'clock this morning here in Florida, I was working out. And a kid came and sat next to me from this wrestling room. And I had a tip off that he was 2 years into college and he dropped out. Somebody had already told me. And I heard the name and I go, I know who this kid is. I'm going to plant some seeds in his head. And I said to him, as we were working out, I said, you know, before you know it, 2 years goes by. And you look back and you wish you would have did that bit, you know, the, whatever. And I know right now you're saying to yourself, I don't need college or, but like when you're 30, right now you're 20, right? Or 21, right? And so I think maybe a message, but again, you tell me is, don't put off what you could do today.
I think there's definitely something there. And in fact, my second point is it actually goes back to in many ways, how I define long-term thinking. People sometimes say, well, you know, what's your definition of it? What does that mean? And when I think about what it means to be a long-term thinker or what it means to be strategic, at a super fundamental level, it is asking ourselves the question, what is it that I can do today that will make tomorrow better or easier? If we just keep asking ourselves that question, how do you do a favor for your future self? So that your future self looks back and is like, wow, Joe of 2016, I'm really glad I did that. Like, that's the win, right? Again, it's a question of, okay, did you do the workout? Did you put aside the savings this month? Did you read the book instead of scrolling on Facebook? You know, whatever it is, but what are the small investments that you can make that you will be thanking yourself for? That would be the second frame that I'd use. And the third one is often one of the biggest barriers that we face. It's not that there's really anybody out there that thinks that long-term thinking is a bad idea. You know, it's not that there's this anti-long-term thinking constituency. But the problem is we think it's a good idea, and yet we don't do it. We don't make the space for it. And largely the reason is that we're too busy, we're pulled in a million directions, we're doing everything else, and we never get the mental space to actually ask important questions. And so my third piece of advice is that it's really important for us to just clear more space in our lives. And so I have four quick questions that I try to use as a personal checklist when I think about taking on obligations or commitments, and I hope they might be helpful to other people. It's when something comes in and someone says, oh, can you do this? I try to ask four questions. Number one, what is the total cost? Because often we think, oh, well, you know, it's this coffee, it's just a half an hour. Well, okay, how long does it take you to drive there, to drive back? Oh, they're late. You know, eventually it's not a half an hour, it's, you know, 2.5 hours. So what is the total cost? Number two, what's the physical and emotional cost? If I don't do something, or I do something, and I'm already tired and sort of burned out, even if it's theoretically a fun thing, I might not actually be able to enjoy it. So thinking about that context. Number three, what's the opportunity cost? What else could I be doing with this time? Is there a better way I could use it? And fourth and finally, how will I feel if I do this or don't do this a year from now? Will I even remember it? Or will it actually be something that I regret having not done? With that frame, we can make better choices about what we're actually bringing into our lives.
I love those four questions. And with the young gentleman this morning, while we were both on the Airdyne bikes, I don't know if young people, in many instances, if they could think ahead enough to say, I'm not going to regret not going to college. Because when I was growing up, I remember when I got into college, which was miraculous, calling my friends from the neighborhood and saying, I could get you in. And they put it off. And then 10 years went by and they said, oh, I should have did that. I should have listened to you. But they didn't know it at the time that they were going to regret it. That's the problem, right?
Yeah, it's true. And you know, now, of course, there's all this research that our prefrontal cortex isn't even fully developed until we're 26, which is actually kind of late in the scheme of things. But part of how we can short circuit this, whether you are under 26 or over 26, is another concept that I really believe in, which is developing what I call a mentor board of directors. You know, it doesn't have to be older people, although it could, but it's people that you trust. It's people whose judgment you really respect. And it's not that you need to necessarily have one perfect mentor. It's hard to find that. But if you can find a group of people that you just periodically seek out for advice, who you really respect their worldview and how they comport themselves, and, you know, every once in a while you stay in good enough touch that you're able to ask them questions and try to be helpful to them where you can, it's a powerful resource during those times when you might not necessarily trust your own evaluation of a situation.
I love it. I've heard that, and I've recommended that before, because I learned it in one of the podcasts I did. I mean, why wouldn't we all have a personal board of directors? There's no reason that you wouldn't do that. And people are always willing to help, surprisingly. You can get, especially the more successful people are, I found in life, the more likely they are to help, especially if you show genuine interest in just being better.
Yeah, it's true. It's very powerful. I think for a lot of successful people, they really respect it when other people are interested in positive self-growth, because the truth is a lot of people aren't. A lot of people are too busy jellyfishing.
Too many people jellyfishing. Let's leave it with that, which is in today's world, today's society, certainly in the first world, it's so easy to be a super success because there's so many people jellyfishing. Right?
Amen to that, Joe. If you just keep moving forward with some purpose and some intention, you can actually dramatically outpace the competition as a result.
Outpace them. All right. So how do people find your stuff?
Thanks so much. If people are interested in these questions about how to be a more strategic thinker in your life, in your career, the book is The Long Game, and you can get a free Long Game Strategic Thinking Self-Assessment at doryclark.com/thelonggame.
And then the last thing I'll say is, if you play Monopoly, if you're listening or watching and you played Monopoly at some point in your life, but you didn't want the greens and the blues, which were very expensive, you're probably not a long-term thinker. All right. You guys, that was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Spartan Up and taking the time to make yourself better and stronger. Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan, is back every Tuesday with new interviews. If you want more training and resilience, check out Joe's new book, 10 Rules for Resilience, Mental Toughness for Families, at spartan.com/10rules. And find the key takeaways from some of our favorite interviews from the past at spartan.com/toughbible. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Climber and FitAid. Climber, the most effective cardio and strength machine. Climber provides a full body strength and cardio workout with zero impact in only 30 minutes. Go to climber.com, that's C-L-M-B-R.com, and use the code Spartan to save $250. FitAid. Race dirty, recover clean with FitAid Sports Recovery Drink. Visit lifeaidbevco.com and enter the code Spartan30 at checkout to get exclusive early access to FitAid's Black Friday 30% off sale.